Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Maseches Tanis Daf Hei. We begin at the Mishnah, seven lines from the top of the Amud. Ad Masai, until what point in the year, Shay'al and Esaksham, do we continue to ask for rain? If a machlekes, Rabbi Doimer, Ad Shayavar Pesach, until Pesach is over. We continue to ask throughout Pesach. Rabbi Meir Omer, even further than that, Achi it's in Nisan, until the Chodesh Nisan is up, because the entire month of Nisan still carries potential rain. Shenemer, as we find in a pasuk, Vayoyed lochem gershem, Hashem brought down rain, Moire u'malkush barishin, the early and the later rains, both barishin, in the first month of the year, Chodesh Nisan. Although, that was an exception, it was actually a nes, as the Gemara will explain for us, but nevertheless, as Rabbi Meir, we still see that Chodesh Nisan is still potentially part of the rain season, and therefore, why not continue asking for rain until the end of that month? Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Yoreh ben Nisan, we say Meire u'Malkish, the earlier and the later rains, took place in Chodesh Nisan. Yoreh, the first rain, Meire and Yoreh, the same thing. So that's ben Nisan. It's way too late for Yoreh. Yoreh ben Mar Cheshvenu. Aren't the first rains meant to arrive in Mar Cheshvan, the Sanya Yoreh Mar Cheshvan and Malkush Ben Nisan? That's why we begin to ask for rain during Cheshvan. That's the beginning of the season. So how could the pasuk say Yoreh, the first rains, first arrived in Nisan? Omalei Rabbi Yitzchak responds, Hochi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Let me tell you something in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, this wasn't a typical standard year. It was a miraculous phenomenon. B'mei Yoyel Ben Petuel. This happened in the days of Yoel Hanavi, Yoel ben Petuel, in the sky in Mikrozeh. This pasuk was fulfilled. Tichsibbe, because in that time there was a klal, there was an einish, they experienced a 7-year famine. Yeser ha-gozom, whatever the gozom, grasshopper, leaves behind, achala arba, the arba ate up. So there was a hunger. Hashem sent grasshoppers to devour their supply, and for 7 years there was famine. Oysa Shana, the last and final year, Yotza Adar, well, the Yardu Gisham, Adar was over with no rain in sight. But since the 7-year period was up at that point, the end of Adar, suddenly it started raining. Yardu Lehem Revia Rishoina. Revia Rishoina is that first installment of rain. It showed up when? Be'echad B'Nisan. Aleph Nisan, suddenly there's rain. Amar Lehem Navi Yisrael, the Navi turns to Yisrael with instructions. Tzu'u v'ziru, go quickly and plant your fields. So that you could generate a quick crop for the coming year. Amalei Yisrael, tell him, look, we're desperate enough as is. We barely have enough to eat. Mishneish le'kav chitim. Somebody has a small measure of chitim. Oy kabayim so'irim, or 2 kav of so'irim. You eat twice as much so'irim than chitim. So he has a little amount. Yichlenu v'yich. He's faced with a choice. Should he eat it and stay alive? Sustain him for a couple of days, or should he plant and certainly die due to the lack of food? Should he risk? Should he invest? A high risk investment, throw it into the ground and have nothing to eat? So why are you telling us to plant? We barely have enough to eat. Omalehem, the Navi turns to him and he says, look, rely on Hashem. Afal became even so. Su'u v'ziru. Go and plant. Throw it into the ground. Believe in Hashem. You know, Tesis somewhere says, in Shabbos, he says that the reason why the Pasuk describes Seder Zroim as relating to Emunah, that's because you ma'amin, the Yerushalmi says, you ma'amin b'chei ha'olam v'zoireya. You trust in Hashem, you're taking some edible food and tossing it into the ground, the dirty mud. Why? You're relying on Hashem, you're trusting in Hashem's ability to generate that seed into crop, into food. So this was an extensive leap of faith. Go ahead, take a little bit that you have left and throw it to the ground. Hashem will respond in kind. So they did that, and guess what happened? Suddenly they experienced a nes. It became revealed to them, mashabik sullen, kernels which were hidden inside the crevices of the walls, umashabachir namalim, into the ant holes. So the ants had hauled away some grain, some kernels, and suddenly they discovered those kernels and they had what to eat for the next couple of days. And Farshim say, the Nes only happened after. They followed instructions after they were Meisir Nefesh. Suddenly, they discovered food. So that's what happened. Yotzo Bezoru, they planted Sheni Ushlishi Virvi. Marshall explains, they planted it on day two of Nisan, but it takes 3 days for it to take root. And then, it rained again. V'yordalem Revi Shnia, the second installment of rain, showed up b'chamisha b'nisan, on day five of Nisan, when the seeds were already in the ground and absorbed and had taken root. And the next installment of rain generated extensive, expedited growth. Hikrivu Eimer b'shisha asa b'nisan. Suddenly started growing. In fact, day 16 of Nisan, everything's ready to be harvested. They have barley for the Eimer just in time. So this was a miraculous growth. It took barely 11 days. Nimtzes Tzvu HaGdela B'Shisha Chadashim. Turned out that crop of Tzvu, which generally takes 6 months to grow from Cheshvan to Nisan, G'dela Ba'a Achad Asar Yoim, this time, it took barely 11 days. Typically it's Tishrei to Nisan. Now it's an 11-day crop starting from day 5 to day 16. Right? So it took 3 days for it to take root and really started growing properly on day 5. And day 16, there you go, a ready-made crop. It turned out that Omer, which is generally something from Tvo, which grows throughout 6 months, Kariv mitvua shel achad asar yom. This time, the carbon came from tvua, which was barely 11 days old. And regarding that generation, the pasuk says, Hazoyrim bedima. They planted with tears in their eyes. They're letting go of their last and final supply of food. Berina yiktsayru. But the reaping was with joy and happiness. The pasuk continues. On his way there, he's crying and crying. What does this mean? My holoch yelech v'chay noisim meshech hazor. Amar Yehuda, actually, it's referring to the ox who was put to work. Shoyer, kishu chayrish v'haydech, while he was digging along and allowing them to plant those seeds. Haydech v'baych, he was walking along and crying and nothing to eat, nothing to graze from. But on his way back, when everything took root and started growing, you already had grass, grain growing from the furrows. It was quick and coming, express service. That's what the pasuk means. On his way back, on his return, he was happy and joyful. The pasuk concludes with Noisei Alamoisav. My Noisei Alamoisav, what is that referring to? Umar of Chizda. Some say Masnisa Tana, we learned it in the price, that they experienced another element of miracle. Not only did it happen quickly, but it was high quality. It didn't lose in its quality. In fact, typically we have the kana, the hay portion, straw portion, is usually twice in size as the actual kernels. So let's say the stalk is usually two tefachim and the kernels only a tefach. Here, it was the other way around. Tana kana zeres, the straw part, inedible, was merely one zeres in size, one tefach. Shibboilas zerosayim, and the shibboilas portion, the edible portion, was two tefach tall. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak. Once again, Rav Nachman turns to Rav Yitzchak. Maidach siv, how do you explain the pasuk, which describes the famine that they discovered, that they experienced at that time? Ki kara Hashem l'rov, Hashem called out years of famine, v'gam bo el oretz sheva shanim. So he experienced a 7-year famine. B'hanach sheva shanim ayachol, what could they possibly use to sustain themselves to eat throughout 7 years of famine? Amalei, Sir Yitzchak responds, hachi am Rabbi Yechanan, I'll tell you pshat nimi Rabbi Yechanan. Yavitz explains, apparently Rabbi Yitzchak was a guest over from Eretz Yisrael, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. And when he was in Babel here, Rav Nachman turned to him with many questions. We had the question regarding Yoreh B'Nisan, which we resolved. And here again, another question regarding this pasuk. And actually, the entire daf will contain conversation after conversation between Rav Nachman, who asks Rav Yitzchak a question, and Rav Yitzchak responds, typically in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. This will take us all the way to the end. Okay, so once again, he had a question regarding the 7 years. What could they possibly use to sustain themselves? He responds, I'll tell you as follows in the name of Rabbi Yechon. It was a very unfortunate situation. In fact, the first year around, they consumed all their supplies within their homes. Shni, on the second year, they scavenged around the mount, around the sadeis, to find any remnants sitting out in the fields. Shlishis, in the third year round, basar behemat Torah, they resolved to have their animals. Revius, the fourth year, basar behemat Tmeya, they had to resort to non-kosher animals. Chamishis, the fifth year, basar shkotzim ramasim, they ate all kinds of creatures. Shishis, in the sixth year of the famine, basar b'neim b'nei same, their own children. Shvius, in the seventh year, basar zurei same, their own arms. So Rashi says some of them, because some actually had some food left over, as we saw in the early Gemara. But this was a terrible situation. The Kaima Shenemar, this was in fulfillment of the pasuk Ish Besar Zroya Yechelu, that at times the klal is so extensive that they resort to this type of unfortunate food supply. Va'amalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, once again he has a shout to Rav Yitzchak regarding a pasuk. Ma'idich Siv, what is pshat in the pasuk? Bekir b'cha kadosh, you have kedusha within you. V'lo yovoi ba'ir, and I will not arrive into the city of Yerushalayim. Why is this a consequence of being Kaddish? Mishum de bekir b'cha kaddish, because you have Kedusha within you. Lo yovoi b'ir, I'm not going to arrive into the city. This is Hashem speaking. I'm not going to come because you're Kaddish. Amalei, once again, he responds, Hachi Amar B'yechon, in the name of B'yechon. You know what the pasuk means? Amar Kaddish Baruch Hu was actually a good thing. Hashem is telling you, look, Lo yovoi b'Yerushalayim shel mala, I'm not going to reside in the heavenly city of Yerushalayim, the spiritual manifestation of Yerushalayim, heavenly city of Yerushalayim, Ashe Avoy Yerushalayim Shemata, until I first come down to the earthly Yerushalayim, until I rebuild Yerushalayim down here. That comes first, and afterwards I will complement it by residing, by bringing my Shechina into the Yerushalayim in Shemayim, which corresponds to Yerushalayim Shemata. Asks the Gemara, Umi Ika Yerushalayim Lamala, do you mean to say there's a heavenly city of Yerushalayim? And yes, Tichsiv Yerushalayim Apnuya. Yerushalayim is a built city. Ki'ir, Shechurbra lo yachtav. Chubra, it's connected. Connected to what? To its counterpart in Shemayim. Va'amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. My Tichsiv, how do I understand the pasuk, which says, Ba'achas, Ivaru, Ikislu, Musar, Havolim, Eitzu. What does this mean? Amalei, once again, the name of Rav Yechanan. Hochim Rav Yechanan. Achasi, the pasuk speaking about one. Achas, there's one avera shemeva'eres rishon begehinam, which is the main cause of the rishon burning in Gehenna. Mayi, what exactly is this? Avoid zora. This brings about the ish of Gehenna. Ksevach, but the pasuk over here says musar havel meitzu. Pasuk we just mentions the word hevel. Uksevhasam, and the pasuk which describes avoid zora, we have hevel hema, it's worthless, masetatuim, just child play, just worthless, unimportant thing. So we see that Hevel is referring to Avodah Zarah, and that is Mevar that generates the fire, the extensive Eishin Gehenna. Further, V'amalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Ma'idech Siv, what is Pshat in the Pasuk? Kishtaim Ra'is Asa Ami. My nation committed two things wrong. Taratinu Dahava, only two. Esen V'arba Shvikalu, they dropped 24 mitzvahs. The Pasuk there provides an extensive list of 24 averes. So why does the pasuk single out only two? Amalei Rav Yitzchak responds, the pasuk is singling out one concept of a dezara which is equal to two averes. It contains two negative elements. Amalei Hachi Amar Biyachan, Achasi. The pasuk is singling out one avera, Sheishkulo Kishtayim, which is equal in value, like two averes. There are two things wrong with Avodah Zarah. My knee, what exactly is this Avodah Zarah? Why is it a double wrong? My nation committed two things wrong when they did Avodah Zarah. Number one, look, they left the source of fresh water, referring to Hashem, the source of life. They abandoned their source of life to go what? What they substitute with? Something worthless. Lachs of Lahem, to go bore out, to dig out Be'eris, Be'eris, Nishbarim, broken, worthless wells. So if you choose something good, okay, I understand, but you left go of Hashem and you chose broken, worthless of the desires which clearly have no power. Chsibu, as we find by the Avodah Zarah, ki avru iye kitim ro v'keda v'sholcha v'zboinu moed. So they took a look at all these nations, the Kutim and the Kadrim, who serve, worship fire and water, and they see that it's worthless. Ha-hemer goyalehim, v'hemer loyalehim. V'ami hemer kevoidoi b'lo yoyal. What does this mean? It means like this, that those nations did not drop their Avodah Zarah, even though they know their Avodah Zarah is worthless. It can be defeated easily, as we're going to see soon. And Klal Yisrael went ahead and adopted that instead of Hashem. V'ami hemer kevoidai, they exchanged their true honor, their Hashem, below Yoel with something worthless. Tanu v'noitanu b'rais. Kutim oivdim leish. The nation of Kutim, they worshipped fire, power of fire. The Kadrim, the Kedar fellows, oivdim lamayim, they worshipped water, power of water. V'avopi, even though they know full and well their Avodah Zarah can be easily defeated by the arrival of Avodah Zarah. Shamay Machabane says, why water comes along and extinguishes fire. And despite the fact that they are fully aware of the limitations of their Avodah Zarah, Loi Hemiru Eloheim, they did not drop their God, they remained loyal to their God, even though they see it's worthless. V'ami, as opposed to my nation, Klal Yisrael, Hemer Kvoidi B'lo Yoyel, they dropped Hashem, substituted Hashem for something worthless. And that was the Musar given to Klal Yisrael. You dropped something so valuable and picked up something so worthless. You did two things wrong. Not only that, in a way you were worse than the Goyim, who remained loyal to their worthless Avodah Zarah, and you couldn't remain loyal to Hashem, who is the source of eternity, a true life. V'amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Another question he posed to Rav Yitzchak. My dechsiv, how do we understand the pasuk which says, Vayhi ki zokein Shmuel? The pasuk describes Shmuel reaching old age. Did he ever reach old age? Umi siv Shmuel kulihai? Did Shmuel really get so old? He didn't live past 52. V'habar nun beish hava. He passed away merely when he was 52 years old. Amar Mars, we learned in Maseches Ma'id Katan. Meis benun beishana. If a person passes away at 52, it's early, it's premature, but there's no concern of kares because zeu misasei shel Shmuel or Amasi. This corresponds to the misa of Shmuel. Apparently, this is not related to kares. In any case, he passed away at 52. What do you mean he was zaken? Amalei hachem Rabbi Yechanan. So once again, the name of Yechanan, zikna kaftzalov. Hashem arranged a premature zikna, he should look old, as she says. His hair turned white. Hilbin sa'ore, like we had by Rabbi Gamliel when he became a Nasi. So suddenly his hair turned white to give him that appearance of old age. What was the point of this? Dechsiv. Nichamti kim lachti es shol. Hashem says, look, I regret that I appointed Shol as king. This is when he did not follow through completely when it came to Amalek. Hashem wanted to remove him from his position. And he was meant to die. Amar lefanav. Shmuel begged Hashem. He says, Ribbono shel Olam, we find that shekaltani ki Moshe v'Aaron, you treated me and you equated me to Moshe v'Aaron, put me in the same pasuk, on the same level. Lechsev, Moshe v'Aaron b'koyanav, u'shmuel b'koyanav shmuel. So I want to be equated to them in a way that ma Moshe v'Aaron, just as Moshe v'Aaron lo'ibotlu ma'asi yadeyim, their appointed one, Yeshua, the one that they appointed, was not bottled, was not removed b'chayim during their lifetime. They did not experience failure in that regard. Afani, likewise by me, lo yisbatel masa yada b'chayim, please Hashem. My appointment, my anointment, Mashal HaMelech, who I appointed king, should not be removed in my lifetime. I don't want to experience the failure of such a move. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, look, this is a real dilemma. Hechi Avid, what should I do? Lamus Shol. Should I cause Shol to pass away? Because he's no longer deserving of being king. Like a Shavik Shmuel. Well, Shmuel not allowing it to happen. I can't do that. On the other hand, Lamus Shmuel. Should I arrange that Shmuel should pass away and then I'll take away Shol after his lifetime? Well, it's also a problem. Adu Zutar. If he passes away young, Miramnia Basre, people will start thinking, well, apparently Shmuel did something wrong, terribly wrong, that he deserved such an early death. I can't do that either. Well, Well, if Shaul doesn't die, and Shmuel doesn't die, that's also a problem. If Shaul continues serving as king, why? It's time for David HaMelech to be appointed king. King can't encroach on the other king's territory even a hair's breadth. It's time to take him. What should I do? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a good solution. Akpitz Olav Zikna. I'm going to advance old age onto Shmuel. And this way I'll be able to take him away and follow it by taking away Shaul and bring about David. That is Pshat in the Pasuk. V'Shaul Yoshev B'Kiva. Shaul HaMelech was sitting in Giva. Giva was Giva as Binyamin. Tachas HaEshel B'Rama, underneath the big tree in Rama. Rama's Ephraim. Two different territories. Two parts of Yisrael. V'Chimatni in Giva Tzol Rama. What's the connection between Giva as Binyamin with HaEshel Ephraim of Rama? Eloi Melech, there's a lesson here. Mi Goram L'Shaul. Who extended Shaul's Malchus? Migaram l'Shaul sheyeshiv begiva shtei shana mechza. Who gave him another 2.5 years of kingdom? Tefillah sheyeshal Shmuel haRamasi. Because of Shmuel haRamasi's tefillah. That's what the pasuk means. Shaul yeshiv begiva. That's where he resided. That's where he was king for another 2.5 years. Tachas haEishal, underneath the schus, because of the big tree, he was being protected by Shmuel, the large tree Barama, who resided in Ramah Sefraim. In the mountain of Ephraim. Asks the Gemara. If so, turns out that ultimately Shmuel passed away early. Hashem made him look old and took him away. It doesn't appear like he did Navir, died of old age. But the fact is he did die because it was time for David to be appointed king. He had to take him away. He said, Shmuel could be passed away and then David will come. Umi mitchi gavra. Is that so that Hashem pushes away one person, becoming gavra on account of another person? His time to pass away had not yet arrived. He's being pushed away because another leader has to take his place. And yes, that's the way Hashem works when it comes to leaders whose existence, whose life is indeed dependent upon their role of leadership. The Amar B'Shmuel Rachmeni, Amar B'Yenison. My Tichsiv, what is Pshat in the Pasuk? Alkein Chatzavti B'Navim, Haragtim, I killed Navim B'Imrepi, by the word of my mouth. But my same way Nemar, they didn't die because of their wrongdoing. Elabim repeat simply because I spoke. Because I decided it's time for the new leader to come. Alma, apparently, yes. Mitchi gavra, mikam megavra. At times, you can have one person being pushed away on account of the other. Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, getting back to Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Havayav, Svibis Sudas, they were sitting and having a meal. So once again, the Yavit says, perhaps, Rav Nachman was the host. And Bavel, Rav Yitzchak came to visit Eretz Yisrael. He was sitting with Rav Nachman having a meal. Amli Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman turns to his guest, Rav Yitzchak. Nu, b'machavra us with a good word. Leim amar milsa, perhaps tell us a dvar Torah. Amli, so Rav Yitzchak this time said, no, sorry, nothing doing. Hachem Rav Yechon, in fact, Rav Yechon tells us, ein masichin besuda, you're not meant to converse during a meal. It's dangerous. Shema yaktim. Perhaps the food will enter the windpipe instead of the food pipe. Rashi explains that typically, while a person is eating, the trachea is covered. But once he starts speaking, the windpipe opens up, and the food might end up in there instead of the esophagus, which is dangerous. You have to wait until the end of the meal. Shema yaktim kana leveshet. Perhaps the food will end up in the kana instead of the Veshet, V'yavadis HaKana, bring him to danger. So Ben Yehuda says that Rav Nachman perhaps figured, yeah, that's when you're just speaking non-Torah discussion, but Torah that serves to protect a person, perhaps even during a meal. You can speak Torah during the course, during mid-course. Of course, between courses you can speak in Torah, you're meant to speak in Torah, but while you're actually eating, perhaps Torah protects you, and you respond to no. Rabbi Yechon did not allow us to speak even the Divrei Torah while actually eating. Okay, so Basa the Sod, once they finished eating, Amalei, Rav Yitzchak acquiesced. I'll tell you a nice thing. You want to know a nice Divrei Torah? Here it goes. Hachi, Amar Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon tells us as follows. Yaakov Avinu lemeis. You meant to know? Yaakov Avinu never died. Amalei. So Rav Nachman asks him, what do you mean, never died? V'chibichti, you mean that for naught, for no reason, Saftu Saftanaya, the eulogizers presented their aspedim, he never died, and they're still so sad and giving eulogies. V'chantu Chantaya, and the Chantaya, the preservers, preserved Yaakov Avinu, V'kavr Kavraya, and the one that buried him, one hadn't buried him, even though he was alive. What do you mean? Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak responds, look, I can't really directly address your question, but Mikra and Derish, I have a pasuk to support it. Shneimar. Va'ata, Hashem tells Yaakov Avinu, Al tira avdi Yaakov, no Hashem. Al teichas Yisro, have no fear, because eventually I'm going to gather all your children from Golas, and you're going to be present and witness that in gathering of exile, ki hinini Moshiach mirochik, ve'zarech meres shivyam, all your children from their place of captivity, and the pasuk is connecting Yaakov Avinu to his children. We connect one to the other. Just as Yaakov Avinu's children in this pasuk are living, they're being returned from captivity. Apparently, they're alive. Likewise, Yaakov Avinu witnessing this is also alive. So we know Yaakov Avinu lemes asks the Mashal, what do you mean? The fact is, he died, right? Says the Mashal tu pshatim. Either it means that there's a certain element within his, he calls it the nefesh, which typically does die with the goof. In this case, the nefesh aspect still remained alive. So you're still more alive than your typical mace. And that had apparently had significance, that he still has a presence in this world. Another pshat, he says, interesting pshat. We know the Gemara Ksuva speaks about the fact that people buried in chutzlaretz will only be zeichet et chiyas ha-mesen by rolling, making their way through mechelot, through tunnels to Eretz Yisrael. And he says, because the Gemara brings from Pesukim that true life is only found in Eretz Yisrael. So a tzaddik who's nifter in Eretz Yisrael, it's only a temporary experience. That death is not really a permanent death, and he will reawaken easily. But the ones in the Chutz La'aretz need to get that dose of Chaim from Eretz Yisrael, have to relate to Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz HaChaim, and over there they will have Tchias HaMesim. Says the Marsha, the Chiddush by Yaakov Avinu was that even though he was nifter in Chutz La'aretz, he never really experienced that Chutz La'aretz type of death. So he still had that Eretz Yisrael death element to him, which allows him easy Tchias HaMesim. Continues the Gemara. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, once again, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, perhaps this was another statement, another lesson that he told over to Rav Nachman at that meal. Kolo Omer, Rachav Rachav, if one mentions Rachav HaZoyna's name once and again, Rachav HaZoyna is described in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, it has a detrimental effect on the person. Meyad, immediately Nikri, will bring about an experience of carry. Amalei Rav Nachman, well, ano amina, I've said it, v'lo yichpaslein, it doesn't really affect me. Amalei Rav Yitzchak responds, hikamina, what I meant was, b'yoida u'b'makira, a person who knows her well, and then goes ahead and relates to her by repeating her name, that brings about this negative effect. Asks the Ben Yoyada, so what's the point of speaking about it nowadays when this whole thing doesn't, she doesn't exist anymore. So he says, there is a lesson here, even for all time. A tznius lesson. The person is meant to know that even if there is a need to mention a woman's name, but it shouldn't be done again in repetition because it brings about that closeness. In fact, I happened to notice in a sefer recently some good advice for people in the workplace that if possible, to avoid at all mentioning first names. That brings about a closeness and is only appropriate in the proper setting. Continues the Gemara. Ki avu miftri mehadati. So when Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak were parting ways, as the Yavid says, perhaps it was Rav Yitzchak returning back there to Yisrael. Omar lei livrachon mar. Rav Nachman asks Rav Yitzchak, no, could I please have a bracha from you? Amalei, so Yitzchak tells him, I have nothing to tell you. You have it all. Emshalcha mashal. I'll give you a mashal. Lamadav adayim. Our situation is analogous to the following situation. Lo'adam sheyohedach b'midbar. His fellow was walking along the desert. Vayaroi. He was hungry. Vayayev, tired, v'tzameh, and thirsty. And suddenly, he finds an oasis. Umotza ilan, he finds this beautiful tree. Sheparoisa masukim, with sweet fruit. V'tzilei noah, a pleasant shade. V'amasamayim, averes tachta, with a fresh stream of water flowing right beneath it. Ochel mepeiroisa, he had some of the fruit. V'shasam meimav, he drank some of the water. V'yashav betzilei, hey, he sat down for a rest, took a nap in this pleasant shade. He's ready to continue his journey. Ugesha bigesh leilach. He's ready to go. Omar, he turns back to the tree with immense hakaras hatayv, and he says, Elon, Elon, b'meh varechecho. What could I add? What bracha can I give you? You have it all. If I'll tell you, you should produce sweet fruit. It's there already. Look, you have sweet fruit. I'll bless you to have a good shade. You already have a pleasant shade. You should have a nice stream of water. You already have it. Ella, rather, what can I tell you? That it should be an ongoing thing. Yiratzen should be Hashem's will. Shekol natiris shenayti mimcha. All trees which will be subsequently planted from you, yiu kamoyscha, should experience the same as you have. Good fruit, etc. So that's all I can tell you. It should be an ongoing thing. Av ata, likewise, says Rav Yitzchak Rav Nachman. But mevarecha, you have it all. What can I add? And the Marsha says that the three things mentioned by that tree, sweet fruit, pleasant shade, fresh water, correspond to three concepts in a person. Three elements found within a lucky person. Torah. So the Paris are his Torah, his mitzvahs, his spiritual essence. He says the Tzilei Noah, referring to wealth, a pleasant abode, and the Amas HaMayim is the continuity, he says, children, which flow from the person. So that's what he was telling him. Look, what can I tell you? What can I give you? Imba Torah. Is it Torah that you're missing? Hari Torah, you already have Torah. Imba Oisha, wealth. Hari Oisha, you already have it. Rav Nachman was a son-in-law of the Nasi. So he was blessed with Torah and Oisha. Imba Banim. What about children? Hari Banim, you already have that. Elo, the only thing that's left for me to tell you, Yiratzain, Sheyu, Tzatzoy Mayecha, Kamaischa, that your children should continue and have the same as you have, continue your legacy, Torah, Eisher, etc. Okay, so we had a whole Daf Gemara with several conversations between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. We discussed the whole story regarding the famine which ended at that year, and they had rains during Chodesh Nisan. In fact, this provides a source for Rabbi Meir's Shita in the Mishnah. You continue asking for rain all throughout Chodesh Nisan, which is potentially still part of the rain season. We had the miraculous growth of the Tvor that year and the Omer, which was brought very quickly. We had the concept of Yerushalayim Shel Mala, which corresponds to Yerushalayim Shel Mata. We had the fallacy of the Zara. We had Shmuel Hanavi's early Zikna. We have the concept of everything is by shirt, every melech has his own time, his own place, nothing encroaches on the other. We had Ein Masicha Mishas Asud Uda, Yaakov Vinu Lameis, Ilan Ilan, Hiratzen, Sheyu Tzetzoy Me'echa Kamaycha. All the best to you and much aslacha.